taken captive. You may be seated. What a mess David's in. His wife's been taken captive. All the men that have been battling with him, his wives are taken captive. Their children's been drug off around heathen gods. They've been straight down there. Now, if I understand this, they're down there in the midst of other men dancing and other men feasting in front of other men worshiping their gods for victory. And here these wives are and these children are being brought down this place, and David and these men that are such warriors are weeping. And I thought, what a shame for David to be in that spot. What a shame for David to be in that place. You see, it's by his own doing that he's battling. Left a lot of things undone. Left a lot of things without any protection. Walked away in battle and forgot really about his family. Forgot about his youngins. And seemingly fighting for the right cause. Had let some things get away from him. And I thought this morning early and some last night, that's where about we're in a lot of shape. I look around at our churches, and a lot of our youngins are drifting out in the world. A lot of our family members have been drug off by things while we're seemingly fighting the battle for the cause of God. And it seems like we're losing out. I realize more and more as the days go by, and more people that I hear them say that the time is slipping away, that the power of God's leaving us, that our youngins seem like they have no hope, and it seems like all things are lost. I hear them say now that we're in these last days, that we're victims of prophecy, that it's just going to get that way. But early this morning, the Lord spoke to my heart again and said, it may be so. There may be some leaving. There may be things like they've lost a lot of stuff. But He reminded me once again what He told Peter, and He said that day, He said, Peter, thou art a stone, but upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And reminded me one more time that until He comes back, until He shows up, there is a place to be worshiping right and doing right. And I will say, it may look like we've lost some things, but we can recover them again if we want to. David said, I've lost them. Begin to weep over them. Begin to cry over them. But he didn't stop there. A little farther down the line, you hear him say to that man, bring me the Ethan and let me talk to God again. I'll say, if we're ever going to recover, if we're ever going to bring our youngins back, if our families are ever going to get right again, somebody's going to have to go down and inquire to God again about our family and about our youngins. Oh, I'll tell you, we've got to the day we'll weep and talk about it. We've got to the day we'll say how bad it is. But very few people in our day are going down and inquiring to God again and asking Him what to do and how to get us out of this mess. Oh, I want you to know, I'm not tired of calling people and asking them what to do and how to act. I don't know about you all, but some of them books just don't help. When the pain's getting deep and the hurt's getting deep, it'd be good for us once again to throw all that away and get on our face before God and say, help my youngins, help my family, get down to where you're at. Oh, I want you to know something. There's men here that are great heroes to me, but they cannot answer the questions that are deep down in my heart about what we've lost and the things that are gone. We need to go ask God again. I was a little bit amazed when I read that again this morning, that David had to go inquire whether he should go get his family or not. That puzzles me a little bit. I say it'd be good for us to realize there's things more precious in this world than earning money and making a great living. There's youngins that need God, and old time conviction must reign. David got down there and he said, Lord, I need your help more than anything right now. I'm losing everything. It's all gone. And I don't know what else to do. And don't know how I'm going to make it without you helping me. I'll tell you, if we'll get desperate once again and realize just how bad it is and realize how low we are and realize how little conviction, how little old-time power there really is, we go back. they help me, God? Oh, I'm not talking about praying in church. I'm talking about getting alone by yourself and saying, God, I'm in trouble. Everything I know is drifting out. Everything I know that's good is gone. And I need you again. I remember one time not too long ago, I probably told you this, I need to tell you it again. My wife was, I think, losing that third baby. And it's about 4 o'clock in the morning. The doctors had just said, I'm going to go do surgery in the morning. And when I get there, he said, everything's going to be gone. Any hope of you ever having youngins going to be gone. And he said, there'll just be no use but go in there and remove everything to fix the problem. And I was headed down this four lane, driving back to the house trying to get cleaned up and ready for surgery the next morning. And I flipped on the tape and there's the family singing, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And they sung that first verse. And I said, Lord, it is good to serve you and it is good to walk with you, but I'm a hurting right now and I need your help right now. That doctor said everything's going to be gone and I've about lost every hope of ever having a youngin. And verse 2 started up and it said, every need he is supplying. I don't know what all happened right there. I don't know how he got from there all the way down the four lane. But when I got done, I said, no matter what comes or goes, Lord, I know you know what's right. I got to come out of the operating room the next morning. And he said, I don't understand it all. I'm not sure about everything, but everything's still intact and everything's still working. I say what we need to do again is get on our knees and say, God, I need your help. Oh, for the day once again when the people of God would go to him. David said, Lord, I need you. My wife and my youngins are down there. Oh, men of God, this morning, I wonder when the last time you went and really said, God, not my preaching, not my church needs it, and them youngins need it, and they need the power of God to rest and all time condition to move in. I'm not talking about just having a good sermon, but I'm talking about God moving in their hearts. They would say, Lord, we need you. There's no hope for us, but you come down and help us. I'm amazed at what the Lord said. Go and get it. So he said one. He said, go recover it all. I've got the promise right here. I'll help you. Isn't it an amazing thing, Brother Chris preached it this young night? He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. But we sit around wondering if he's really going to help us. It's not his will that he should perish. Why in the world are we doubting him when we get up to preach? Why in the world are we doubting him about going? He said if we go and humble ourselves, he touch. Well, don't you know what the problem is? Is in us going, because he said go. He'll say go most of the time. We'll say we don't know if that'll work. David headed out, took them 600 men, and started down that road. I wondered this morning, I wonder how much the odds were 600 to them. And I thought, man, that's about a few men to go out there and get all their wives back. You see, I don't know how many soldiers really over. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But I know it was probably odds against them that they didn't make it. But God was on the scene. I want to tell you, there's odds against us making it. And there's everybody said, we can't be old timers. And we can't live right and walk right and dress right and talk right. And all them things are against us. But I remind you, there's God on our side. And he said, you do these things, and they're right. You know what? I'm about tired of hanging my head over living for God. I just want to be his. He's taking care of me. Give me the promise about where I'm going. Give me the promise that he'd help. I don't know about you all, but I realize the situation desperate. And my boy's going to need old time conviction. I don't know if you all remember it or not, but when I got saved, I got in deep trouble. I got sick of where I was at and what I was doing and who I was. And before I got saved, I was ashamed to go to the altar. But when I got in deep enough trouble, I didn't care who was there and what they said. I was a needing God. And I want that for my boys. And I want that for them girls in my house. That they'll get sick of where they are. And afraid to go to sleep and afraid to stay awake. And God just moved in on them. That's what we need. And God's promise that there would be a drawing power. He would be saving sinners. I don't know when He's coming back exactly, but I know until He comes back, there's going to be a draw if we'll do right and if we'll live right and we can recover some things. There's a lot of you got youngins out there this morning that you're wondering how in the world you're ever going to get back to God. Wondering how in the world you're ever going to reach them. You're probably not, but God will through you if you'll get real good and right with Him.
Amen.
David headed down there, and it wasn't long they got down to that river and wouldn't make the crossing, and 200 couldn't do it. They said, "We've got too faint. We cannot go on any farther. We about give up." And I'll tell you, that's where we're at in our day. There's a whole lot of folks that are sitting down and a whole lot of folks that are faint along the journey. And I used to be real hard on that, but I'm not going to be right now. There's sometimes, I've realized now, pastoring the church, there's sometimes when you go through something and it gets so deep you can't hardly go on and somebody else ought to go on. I don't tell you what we all do. Instead of complaining about them ones that are faint, instead of complaining about them ones that are sitting down, that are beat up and give out. You see, they did start out with David and they said, "I want to go recover," but they got to the point they could not. But I'm glad there's 400 men said, "Don't worry, sit down right there, we'll go get the youngins." Oh, don't you know we spend too much time complaining about those that are quitting instead of just getting up and going with God. I don't know about who's going to leave out tomorrow, but I've got intentions in my heart that I'm going to stay with Him and go all the way down through the battle. Oh, listen to me. No matter if they get tired or not, it's no reason for you to quit. It's no reason for you to let down. There's still youngins out there need to get saved. Somebody ought to preach to them. Somebody ought to witness to them. Somebody ought to testify about the goodness of God to them. Down there on that journey, there's this old Egypt, this boy from Egypt, he'd been left behind. Laying there fixing to die. I think the Word of God said 3 days without food. And here comes David, men picks him up and brings him into David, and David starts feeding him and giving him bread and helping out. You say, "That's the enemy. Why in the world he'd do that?" I want to tell you, there's everybody out there in this world that are prime candidates for getting saved. We've got to the day in our day that if they ain't already dressed right, looking right, and just exactly right, we won't have anything to do with them. I say, what's wrong with befriending them out there and telling them there's a generosity and a love in your heart? I want you to know, I've realized that what we need to do is get sinners in the house of God and preach to their heart and let the light of the gospel shine in on them and know that there's a love and a peace of knowing God. I want to tell you, when I got in this way, I didn't know nothing about God, didn't know nothing about this book, but I saw a bunch of people that were poor that was loving me and taking care of me and pointing me to Jesus. I first came to this church, and I don't know how a lot of you are, but I'm probably the same way as me. Well, I just wanted God just to fill the place. And I was over there praying just about every day, "God, you send in folks that'll testify in power, and them that'll shout, and them that'll get in, help us pray." And I spent about 2 years trying to do that. And I realized all them people that could do that was already in some church, and already a part of something. And I didn't want to take any of them away. In my heart, I'd like to have some of them, but I didn't know it wasn't right to take them. So I got in the prayer place one day, and said, "God, we need help down here. And if you'll send in sinners and save them, I know they'll be able to testify and help out." I'll tell you, it'd be good for us once again to just say, "God, send them in, and you deal with their hearts. We ain't careful. They got to be perfect before they get saved, or we won't even invite them to the house of God." About 2 Sunday mornings out there, where she's sitting, there's a man sitting there, his hair's longer than I like, and tattooed all up. But I looked at him in my heart, I said, "He's about dead, and he don't have anything to eat, and somebody needs to feed him." You see, every one of us here just in the same shape he was. Some of you may not have tattoos. Some may not be strung out on drugs. But some of you was. But all of us were in desperate need of somebody helping us. It's an amazing thing David fed him and then asked who he belonged to. See, David wasn't concerned. He was concerned about helping the individual. We ain't careful. We want to make sure they're in the right party. We want to make sure they know the right people and been around the right places. What we need is folks just to get in the house of God and let the Holy Ghost deal with them. I hope y'all won't lose me on here. My church now on Sunday morning, there's three families in my church do foster care. And I think I had that the other morning. The biggest majority of the youngins in my church are in foster care without a mom or a daddy helping them. But I realize the real help they need will come from right here out of this Word of God. And you know what I'm doing on Sunday morning? I'm getting up and doing my best to tell them there's a God that loves them above everything. And He's got them in the spot where He's got them that He might help them. I want to tell you, I believe in my heart that that young man was not left by accident. God had a plan and a purpose in his life. And He did feed him, take care of him, raise him up, and He helped David.
Amen.
I don't tell you, we're so much against everything out there, and I'm against sin, but I'm not against sinners so much. I want to help them and get them in the family of God and let God shine the light in on them and see if they can't help us. We've tried all the religious crowds. We've tried all the other stuff. Why don't we go out there and just help sinners know the Lord and see if He won't help us? He said, there's no way some drunk out there will ever come in and help anybody. I dare to say this man that was fighting on the other side, God showed the love of God in him and said, I'll show you. But he got so much of belief in him. He said, when I get there, don't you give me back to my master. Don't you kill me when this is over. And David said, don't you worry about that. You found the right spot. I'm glad that day I got saved. Down the family of God, I grew up poor. Now I tell some of our school youngins, there's not many people of all age of 30 knows anything about being poor. I mean being broke. But I grew up in the middle 80s, no power in the house, and not much to eat but what the government give out. And I was ashamed of all that and wondered if I'd ever fit in anywhere. And when I'd go down to the bus stop, they'd laugh at me because the clothes I was wearing and my hair wasn't like theirs and I wasn't popular. But all that day when I got saved and got in the family of God, and got a little something from him, and they fed me Jesus, and that light got signed in there, got birthed in the family of God, I found what I was looking for, and I want to fight for it and stand for it. I want to tell you, this is my place, this is my ground, and I will help the battle. Do all I can to help sinners get in the family of God and know about His mercy. David took that man down there, pointed him right out. There's the trouble. You know what amazes me? When sinners that are way out there really get saved, you know what they want to do? They want to go get them others and point them back to where the Lord is and say, right there's a bunch of others. You say, that's awful. Every one of you was wicked and undone until God come got you. All of us should have been left on the side of the road to die. Got down there, and David got down there early that evening. They was feasting, they was dancing. He looked them 400 men and said, we're here. We might as well go ahead and get started. And it said from that night all the way to the following day that David did slew them and kill them and did away with them. It's an amazing thing to me now. We'll pray and ask God to help us. We'll get on that journey. But when a sinner gets in trouble, we got about 2 minutes to pray and then head to the house. What's wrong with just staying in the battle and staying until God does recover? We'll clap to their people about our youngins. Ask folks to pray for our family members. Ask them to help. And when they get in trouble, we'll let down. And say, don't want to bother them. Don't want to get them too troubled. Don't want to mess them up. I'll say they're messed up. Let God have His way while conviction's running. And go to work. We've got to the place we're scared to testify, scared to say anything for God, afraid that we'll offend our family members. I want you to know something. They already don't like you, don't have much to do with you. Why not just go ahead and praise God? We need to go to work when we get there. If we're ever going to recover anything, there's going to be a long battle. There's going to be a fight. You see, there's a world pulling against them and a devil trying to pull them out and send them to hell. And we ought to decide we're going to just get in the battle and stay there. This business in 1 week out the next, one Sunday morning can't get here Sunday night, in here on Wednesday 1 week, and revival's too long. Oh, I long for the day again when revival wasn't Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Friday, but just started when God said and quit when He said, and stay there while He's wanting us to. And the Bible said, David recovered all. Now, that's an amazing thing. And he went down there to say, not one thing, not one wife, not one son, not one daughter, not anything that's taken it. It's possible. It's possible for us to recover what we've lost. You say, oh, we can't get back to where we're at. I want to remind you, the Holy Ghost Spirit's still here. God's still on the throne. He's still wanting to work through the church. You see, the only avenue is through the church. It's not out there a bunch of screen door knockers, but it is through the church. It is through an old altar of repentance. It is through old time conviction. And God does want to help us. They headed back with that spoil. I'm about done. They headed back with that spoil. And they got down there and some of them men said, those that are sitting down here ought not get anything. They didn't go. Well, even them, David said, oh no. Right now is the time when they need it the most. Right now is the time when we need to take them back with a mission. You see, they're in the dumps. They're all the way down to the lowest below. And they need somebody to bring them something. I want to tell you, I'm glad in the days gone by when I was down where they were. Faint, sitting by the side of the road, saying I'm about to give up. Somebody reached in and handed me something that they got from the floor and said, I won't give you back what you've lost and help you out with some things. I will say what we all do is more be friendly and what we got and help folks that are hurting. What we'll do is sit down and talk about them and say, lazy bunch, we don't know what's hurting them in their heart. We don't know how bad they've been beaten down. We don't know how deep the struggle is. But I say we can every once in a while reach back and give them something that'll help them get back in.
Yeah.
All we want to do when they get out, I don't know why they quit. Don't know why they sit down. You may not know. I want to tell you, if you ain't ever been in one of them deep, dark valleys, Brother Ken, if you ain't ever been in one of them spots where you hurt so bad that it's hard to pray, that it's hard to sing, when somebody walks up and gives you a little hope and a little bit of something, say, here you go. About 2 months ago, I guess now, two and a half months ago, I was having a whole lot of voice trouble and a whole lot of trouble talking. And if I preached on Sunday morning at all, couldn't talk on Sunday night. And it's about to get the best of me. And I've been talking to the Lord and the devil been whispering in my heart and said, you've lost your voice. You ain't never going to get back. It'll always be rattly. It'll always be raspy. And there's no hope. And I was about to sit down and about to quit and say, what's the use? I'll give up the church. Can't preach anymore. Can't feel no good power in my voice anymore. And I need some help. And I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden the phone rang. And there's a preacher played over there last night. And it said, Brother Jay, I was driving down the road. And I felt like God to call you and tell you I loved you. And tell you I was thinking about you. And I want you to know you ought to press on. I come to church that Wednesday night and got my little bunch around and said, I ain't never asked anybody for prayer, I ain't never asked anybody for help, but I want God to touch my voice and I need you to help me. And they got around and while there's a plan, I felt a little touch and said, it'll work. We all take it back every once in a while and say, it says, oh, don't you know something? I told somebody that's long ago, not one jealous bone in my body. I don't care who preaches to my boys, as long as they're an old-time man of God, that'll get a hold of the power somewhere and point out sin in their life. You see, it doesn't have to be any certain preacher. It's just got to be God called, man living right. And if God touched him, that'll help. I say there's sometimes I'm pretty weak and need somebody preaching. My youngins need to hear it. What we ought to do is just get what we can, take it back and help. I'll tell you, we're in a mess. We've lost a lot in the church that we can have it if we want it. If we'll go ask the Lord for it. And then go when He tells us to go. I'm done preaching.